It is a massive understatement to say that we are living in uncertain, troubling times. As you know by now, this coronavirus pandemic has impacted people around the globe. I'm certainly not a medical doctor, so I will be very careful about giving you medical advice. But what I can do, what I want to do, is point you to the hope that we find in God's Word. Here at New Life Church, we are working through the amazing book of Hebrews. And this morning, we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. And in this passage of Scripture, we're going to find the remedy that we so desperately need for our anxious hearts. But before I read this passage of Scripture, what I want to do is this. I just want to give you a little bit of background information, tell you why the author was writing this letter in the first place. Two pieces of information I want to give you. The first one is this. He was writing this letter to encourage genuine Christians who are experiencing persecution. And this persecution was coming at them in a couple different ways. The first way was this. There were a number of Jewish people who were converting to Christianity. And because of that, that created a lot of tension between their friendships and their family members. So that's one of the aspects that the author of Hebrews wants to address. But the other thing is this, is the ruler at that time was a man by the name of Nero. And Nero had a hatred for the Christians. And eventually this hatred for the Christians became so intense that he began crucifying Christians upside down. Not only that, but he would light them on fire and sometimes would feed them to the lions. So as we think about this context of this letter, it's important for us to remember that he's writing to people who were going through some really difficult times, some massive trials. What that does for you and I is to know, to rest assured, that certainly God has something to say to us as we're going through the difficult times that we're facing now. The second reason that he was writing this letter is due to the fact that there were people in the church who were very religious, but yet they didn't really have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the fact that many people don't understand the purpose of this letter, this aspect, it leads them to a lot of confusion as they come to other passages of Scripture. So this morning, what we are going to see is this. This letter was written to comfort Christians, certainly with the good news of the gospel, but it was also written to convict as well. Comfort and convict. So I'm praying that the Holy Spirit would be at work in such a way in your life that you would experience both of those things, the comfort of the gospel and the conviction of the gospel. So you can follow along. I hope you have your Bible there. I'm going to read for us from Hebrews 4, verses 1 through 13. We find this. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest, as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since, therefore, it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience. Again, he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterward in the words already quoted. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Verse 11. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So as we think about this passage that I just read from, obviously what we want to do now is just think about what does God desire to communicate to us through this passage of Scripture. And since that's our goal, the first thing that we need to do is this, is we really need to ask a question. What does it mean to find rest in God? Certainly, if you've been in the church for very long, this is part of our Christianese. We talk about finding rest in Jesus, finding rest in God. But what does that really mean? What does it look like? In this passage of Scripture, in Hebrews 4, one of the things that the author is doing is he's looking back at the Israelites as they were about to enter into the Promised Land. Chapter 3 makes this clear that the author is talking about the Jews who end up going into the wilderness. God wanted to give them rest of the Promised Land, but because of their own unbelief, lack of faith, which we're going to talk about in just a few moments, they failed, many of them failed to enter into this rest. And one of the major themes in this book of Hebrews is that Jesus is always better than anything else that is mentioned. So this rest in the Promised Land, ultimately what we're going to be seeing here this morning is that it's pointing to a much deeper rest, a rest that is only found in the person of Jesus Christ. But let's keep digging into this. What does this passage tell us specifically about finding this rest? Well, one thing it tells us is this, is that rest consists when we rest from our own works. And I'm going to reread verse 10. You can look at verse 10 again as well. Verse 10, we read this. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. And so there's a couple things going on right here in verse 10. One is this, it's a reference to the fact that when God created the entire universe, everything that we know and see, that on the seventh day he rested. But once again, there's a deeper truth being communicated. Now, because Jesus Christ has come to earth, there is even an even deeper rest that you and I can experience, that it's only found and known through the work of Jesus Christ. So, what does that really mean? Let's make that practical. I believe that within each one of us, a lot of times there's this desire that we have to accomplish, to show that we're okay, to work hard, a striving in some instances to show to God that we're okay. But when we remember the gospel, when we remember what Jesus did, what we have to remember is this, is that we never find rest by being religious. We never find rest by working hard. We don't find rest by going even to church. The only way that we find rest is through the completed work of Jesus Christ. And this is what we need to be reminded of. Jesus Christ did all the work. What we have to do is receive this good news. This is how we enter into that rest. Jesus Christ did all the work for us. But the other thing that we learn about this rest is this. This is a rest that can be entered into right now. It's not just something in the future. It's not just something that happens when we get to heaven. And certainly there will be rest there that we long for. But this is something that can be experienced right now. And so what I want to do right now is just stop and ask the question. Have you ever really experienced this rest? Have you ever experienced this for yourself? And again, I'm not talking about, have you grown up in the church? Have you been baptized? Mark 1:15 says there's two things that must happen for a person to enter into this rest. One is you need to repent of your sins. Have you ever done that? Have you seen your sins for what they are, as something that alienates you and keeps you from rest in Jesus Christ? Have you repented of your sins? And then the second thing that we must do, that Jesus said, is we need to believe in him. Have you repented? Have you believed? So even with all the chaos that's going on, and this service itself being so very different than what we're used to, you, this morning, right now, can embrace Jesus Christ by faith and find genuine, true, eternal rest. This passage also warns us about how we can fall short of experiencing the rest of God. So in this passage, there is a warning. And it's actually a pretty rather clear warning that the author is giving us. So how does that happen? How do we actually fall short of experiencing the rest of God? Well, in the passage in the Old Testament that the author is referring to, the Israelites, there were a couple main things that he mentions here, ways in which they didn't enter into the rest. And the first one is this, we see it in verse 1, it was a lack of faith. Let me read verse 1 again. He's pretty clear. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear, interesting, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. So again, talking about this warning, he's giving a warning. It's like, it's possible to hear the good news. It's possible to hear about the rest. It's possible to get close to it. But because of unbelief, because of a lack of faith, we don't actually experience it. You think about it for a moment. Think about everything that the Jewish people had already experienced, right? God gave them the law and the prophets. God delivered them from the slavery of Egypt. And so you and I, we can think about this and we think, how in the world could they forget that? How in the world could they forget how God had provided for them? Why would they lack faith? It seems ridiculous, right? But don't we do the same thing today? If you are a Christian this morning, think about what you have been rescued from. Think about all that God has done for you. The giving of his son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross in your place, took your sins upon himself and rose 3 days later. But how often do we forget that? How often do we forget that provision? And we start to wonder, is God going to really bring me through this? Is God now, is he really going to provide? And the answer to that question as we think about Jesus is yes, he always will and always has. So lack of faith is one way that we fail to enter into this rest. But another way, which is very closely related to it, is disobedience. Disobedience. Let me read for you from verse 6. Verse 6 says this, since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience. So there he's very clear. They didn't enter into it because of disobedience. And so as you think again about the people that the author is addressing, they've been delivered from so much. God has shown his mighty hand. But there they get on the cusp of the promised land. And what do they start doing? They start whining. They start complaining, like, God, I don't know if you're going to show up again. And this, scripture tells us, this complaining attitude is actually an act of disobedience and a lack of faith. So, again, I this morning want to ask you a couple personal questions as we think about entering into this rest. How would you say that you're doing spiritually these days? Would you say that you're personally pursuing God? Are you trusting him? Are you growing in Christ's likeness? You and I, we may be as religious as possible, attend church, and still not know a rest that deeply satisfies our soul. The last thing I want to talk about this morning is this. What does it mean to strive to enter God's rest? What does it mean to strive and to enter into God's rest? Where am I getting that from? Look at verse 11. Verse 11 says this, let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. So that's interesting, isn't it? If you and I are thinking about entering into rest this morning, and all of us most likely like that kind of language, the imagery of entering into rest, there's something that's naturally very appealing to us about that. But what the author is telling us is that we need to strive to enter into rest. That seems counterintuitive, doesn't it? Like is that how you enter into rest? That's what he tells us. The word strive means this, to do one's best or to make every effort. To make every effort. So what he's saying is this, We can't just sit back, do nothing, and hope to experience this rest. There's a cliche that certainly you have heard. I don't hear it as much these days. It goes like this: let go and let God. You ever heard that before? Let go, let God. Bumper stickers, t-shirts, all that kind of stuff. The problem with it is that it doesn't really line up with what we hear and read in Scripture. That's not what the author of Hebrews is saying. He's not just saying, take it easy and you'll experience this rest. He's saying, you have to pursue it. It has to be something that your heart longs for. It has to be something that moves you forward. I would like to think that this entire time I've been honest with you to the best of my ability, communicating what I understand to be true in God's word. But let's continue down that honesty path. And as we think together this morning about entering into rest, I think we need to be honest and say that for many of us as Christians, the Christian world, that we're really, really bad at this. Again, I've already said that we like the idea of finding rest, but when it comes to making it happen, making time for it, we find that we're not very good at it. I could tell you what keeps us from it. We like things like our cell phones, our TVs, Netflix, and a million other distractions. Think about this for a moment. You have been probably home more lately, at home more than you normally have been, right? Just natural conclusion to draw during a pandemic like this. You've probably been at home more. But here's the question for you. Would you say that right now that you are experiencing this kind of rest? As you're watching right now, would you say, yes, Pastor Michael, there is something going on in my heart. There is a spiritual transformation taking place. I find myself being drawn closer and closer to Jesus right now. Or have you just been distracted? And I think this is the terrible temptation that we can fall into. It's kind of like the story of Mary and Martha, right? We find in the Gospels, we find that Jesus comes into their house, Mary and Martha. And Martha is the one who is busy with all the activity, right? Martha is the one who is really distracted doing things. But what about Mary? What does Mary do? Mary does the one thing that she should do. She does the one thing that we all must do. And that is she sits down at the feet of Jesus. She recognizes all that activity, all that hustle and bustle, all that stuff that can wait. Right now, I'm with Jesus. And so I think as we consider coming and experiencing the rest that Jesus offers us this morning, we have to recognize there are many things distracting us and they don't lead to rest. But there's another thing that's going on here. And that is that we're in a tremendous spiritual battle. We're in a tremendous spiritual battle. So when you and I begin to think about, I'm at home today. I've got some downtime because of the crazy state of affairs in our world today. There is immediately a battle that's going on within us. If we are children of God, we still have a sin nature living inside of us. And the last thing, please hear me, the last thing that your sin nature wants is for you to stop what you're doing and to sit at the feet of Jesus. That's the last thing that your sin nature wants. Your sin nature will distract you in a million ways because it's only as you sit at his feet, as you look at his face, as you think about who he is, that you are spiritually transformed, that you find the rest that you so desperately need. And so I want to encourage you. We might be thinking, okay, life is slowed down and I'm resting. But the truth of the matter is, you might not be. You might just be distracted. Are you spending time with Jesus? Last thing I'll say before I move on is this, is there might be a little bit of fear as well when it comes to just really being alone in the presence of Jesus Christ. Fear, what do I mean by that? What might get exposed as you sit there? What might get exposed as you just kind of bask in the presence of Jesus Christ? What's going to happen is this. You're going to begin to realize all those other distractions and things that are keeping you from him. And sometimes that's the last thing that we really want, going back to the battle with our sin nature. Our vision here at New Life Church is to be deeply rooted in six counties. I'll say it again. Our vision here at New Life Church is to be deeply rooted in six counties. And that means this. It means that we want to be building relationships with everyone that lives around us in everyday life. In the six counties all around us, we want to be building relationships with gospel intentionality. We want to see everyday life as our mission field. And we want to be deeply rooted. We don't believe that the only place that ministry happens is here in this church building. This morning is a good example of that. And so this is our desire for us as a church, that we're following Jesus in everyday life. But do you know where this vision really begins? Where the place that this vision really begins is when you and I find rest in Jesus Christ. When you and I are rooted in Jesus Christ. This is the place where the vision begins. Because over the past couple weeks, if you've been hearing about people serving other people, taking prescription medicine to people, taking groceries to people, and you've been thinking, man, I don't have a heart for that at all. And you find yourself maybe just, you're only thinking about yourself. What that is telling you is this, is you need to sit at the feet of Jesus. You need to be alone with Jesus, because if we are doing that, we're going to look like him and act like him and want to follow him into this world. The last thing I want to point out is this rest is not possible if we're not looking at God's word. This rest in Jesus is not possible if we're not opening up God's word and digging into it. Well, where do I see that? Look at verse 12 and 13. I'm going to read that again for us. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Again, as we read these verses, I think these are verses that many of us are familiar with, right? We've heard this language before. But when you start thinking about, well, how does this connect with the idea of finding rest? How does this description of the Word of God apply in some way to me finding rest? Because we're hearing phrases like this. The Word of God is like a two-edged sword. It discerns our thoughts and intentions. All people are naked and exposed. So here's what I want to say. Here's how I believe this is connected. These two verses are connected to the idea of finding rest like this. Because I believe that many times, if we were just doing our own self-evaluation outside of looking at the Word of God, we might come to the conclusion that we're doing okay. Matter of fact, Pastor Michael, I don't know if I look a whole lot different than anyone else in the church or other Christians. But what happens when we begin to immerse our heart and our mind in the Word of God, we begin to realize, wait a minute, I'm putting my hope in other things rather than Jesus Christ. How many times have you been checking your stock portfolio over the past couple weeks? How many of us are putting our trust in stocks and securities and our finances and our jobs rather than in Jesus Christ? And so what the author of Hebrews is saying is this, is the way for you and I to discern what it is that we're putting our trust into, the way for our soul to be laid bare before God, the only way for that to happen is to be in the Word. So what a great reminder for us, right? As you're at home, as you're with the family, just to be opening up the Word of God. Say, and kids, come around. Let's hear what God has to say to us. Let's let him speak truth into our life. Final reminder is this, is you and I oftentimes look for rest in our good works. That if we work hard enough, if we're good enough, if we do these kinds of things, maybe God will love us and maybe we'll be approved. And the gospel reminds us that we're not approved by God for any of those things. We're approved by God only through the blood of Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. Nothing else, by placing our faith in him. So I want to warn you, New Life Church. I want to warn whoever is listening. We have to be careful about trying to find rest in another drink, in alcohol. We have to be on guard against trying to find rest in pornography. We have to be on guard against trying to find rest in another TV show. None of those things is going to be able to satisfy the deepest places of your heart. They can't do it. The only thing, the only person that can, is Jesus Christ. And I'll finish with these words from Jesus himself in Matthew 11:28. He says this: "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. God, we thank you that you have loved us so much that you have chosen to speak to us even in the year 2020. God, I pray for everyone who is listening that, God, they would be very careful about the rest substitutes that we are drawn to by our sin nature. God, instead, we would be seeking after you with all of our heart, with laser focus, God. We'd be seeking after you and your Son, Jesus Christ. And then, Father, that we would discover that our hearts are being made soft, that we're not so worried about the circumstances of this world any longer, because we know that we are safe and secure in you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.